Speaking of Bulls at the Country Bar, now when I think of that, I think of our good friend from the Sacramento Bee. It's Matt Barrows. Matt, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks so much for joining us this early on the program. How are you, buddy? You recovered from the weekend?
Yeah, I'm barely recovered. It's a long weekend these days with the draft. Used to be one day. Now they stretch it into 3 days. But yeah, doing well after the big draft weekend.
Are you watching are you watching the whole thing? Do you kind of time it out when the Niners are going to pick and just show up for that? I mean, it's got to be a long weekend for you.
Yeah, a lot of blogs. I mean, they had, for example, in the sixth round on Saturday, they had three picks in very quick succession, and people expect to read about each of these. So there are flurries of activity, and then there are some doldrums as well. But this is a Trent Baalke draft. He usually picks double digit numbers of selections. So there is a lot to write about.
Well, let's talk first off with the first round pick, DeForest Buckner out of Oregon. We had Eric Armstead on Friday. He was obviously ecstatic about this. Chip Kelly, Oregon player. Was this a Chip Kelly-influenced pick, do you think, or was this a coincidence that he happened to be an Oregon kid?
Yeah, I mean, I really think it's a marriage pick. I mean, it checks off a lot of boxes for what Trent Baalke has liked in the past, and obviously there's a connection to Chip Kelly and his defensive line coach. Recruited him out of Hawaii back in 2011. They recruited a lot of basketball players back then. They looked for size and length and athletic ability, and then they would bring these guys in and basically find a position for them after they arrived in Oregon. And Buckner obviously went to defensive line along with Eric Armstead, and really, the gang's all back together. They even signed Alex Balducci, who was the nose tackle at Oregon, with those two guys after the draft. So that entire Oregon defensive line that played in 2014 is now on the 49ers roster.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. Another guy that the Niners got in the first round, they traded up to get Joshua Garnett, who, Matt, from what I've seen, basically, number one, they wanted to keep him away from Seattle. But there's some questions as to whether he's the type of player that could fit in Chip Kelly's scheme. What do you see out of Garnett?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Chip Kelly scheme is going to require blockers who can, hit moving targets, who can get out in space, who move well and who can function in his own blocking scheme. And Garnett at Stanford obviously played in a very Jim Harbaugh-like power blocking scheme. He ran a 5.32 second 40-yard dash, which is slow even for an offensive lineman. But he also made a lot of plays on the or blocks on the second level. He was their pulling guard, so that suggests that he can get out in space in the block. And obviously, Chip Kelly thinks that as well. He was very attentive to Garnett at the Stanford Pro Day back in March. Garnett worked out for the 49ers again last month, so he's obviously somebody that caught Chip Kelly's eye. So this was the real kind of counterintuitively. Buckner wasn't, I don't think, as much a Chip Kelly pick as Garnett was. He's actually somebody that that Chip Kelly recruited, decided to go to Stanford instead of Oregon, obviously. But obviously somebody who Chip Kelly has had an eye on for a long time. And, when you trade up into the first round for a guy, especially a guard, you expect him to start from day one. So that'll be the expectation for Joshua Garnett.
As we talked to Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee on KHTK, when the 49ers made that move, many thought they were trading up for a quarterback. They grabbed Garnett, and that move, for the most part, I saw had a lot of people scratching heads. You shed some light on understanding why they did it, but do you think they gave up too much?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, sure. I think it's really interesting that the 49ers today are going to pick up the fifth-year option for safety Eric Reed, who was their first-round pick back in 2013. They traded up, I think, 13 spots to get him. And so you're giving up a lot of draft capital to get a guy, and then you're possibly saying goodbye to him in free agency after a few years is that going to be the pattern with Garnett as well? They haven't paid big money for guards in the past, so there seems to be this sort of two opposing thoughts going on. You're giving up draft capital, a second, a fourth, and a sixth round pick to go up and get Garnett, but you haven't paid for guards in the past. You've let guys like Mike Iupati and Alex Boone go in free agency, and you've kind of gone cheap at that position. So what's going to happen, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road with Garnett? Are they just going to let him go, or are they going to keep him and sort of develop him as one of the better guards in the league? So in that regard, we'll have to see, but it's something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Matt, when you look at the draft, obviously it's long, and you know, the 49ers pick up 11 guys, and we'll talk about Buckner and excuse me, Garnett, but when you look at the rest of the guys that they add to this roster, is there anyone that maybe either surprised you or you looked at it and you're like, wow, they got a steal with this one?
Yeah, I really think that they got a steal in the fifth round with this guy, Ronald Blair, who probably fell to that point because he played at Appalachian State, mm-hmm. and his level of competition may not have been great, and he's a little bit odd size. He's 6'2", 280 pounds, and you know, not quite an outside pass rusher, not quite an inside, guy in the trenches. But he was very productive at Appalachian State. Was a two-year team captain. People sort of gravitated to him. The defense there very much rotated around him. So he shows a lot of promise, I think. And it'll be interesting to see how the defensive coaches use him. But boy, he was just so productive, such a tenacious player that you can kind of envision him getting into the mix somehow, even as a rookie. And it'll be interesting to see how he's used by the 49ers.
On that note, I'm curious, on the flip side, is there anyone that has you scratching your head a little bit?
Yeah, they took back-to-back cornerbacks, mm-hmm. Will Redmond in the third round, who's coming back from an ACL injury. And then in the next round, they took Rashard Robinson, a very thin-framed cornerback out of LSU. So two cornerbacks back-to-back. And then Robinson hasn't played since 2014. And then he was booted off the team that season. Hmm. That seems awfully risky when you had some other needs. Devontae Booker, for example, Sacramento's mm-hmm. own Devontae Booker went to the Denver Broncos just a couple of picks later. To me, that was a need for the 49ers running back. I know that they got somebody in Kelvin Taylor in the sixth round, but Booker is being looked at as a possible starter, very versatile guy, can play all three downs. They also had looked at Kenneth Dixon, another running back from Louisiana Tech, in the run-up to the draft. He was taken actually one pick after Robinson by the Baltimore Ravens. So those two picks will be monitored, shall we say, in coming years to see how they do versus how Rashard Robinson does. And, you know, Robinson is a bit of a gamble. I mean, obviously the 49ers feel like he's got good potential and might turn into a wonderful cover corner, but risky pick, a guy who couldn't stay on the field, couldn't stay in school at LSU, and suddenly you're taking him at a fairly prominent spot.
Matt Barris of the Sacramento Bee joining us on KHDK. You know, we're forgetting about quarterback of the future, Jeff Driskel, who Matt, I correct me if I'm wrong, I think first 49er quarterback out of Louisiana Tech since Tim Rattay.
Yeah, baby.
And they grab him. Talk a little bit, if you know, what do you know about him? But more importantly, do we now, for all intents and purposes, believe Colin Kaepernick will start the year now that the Broncos did what they did?
Yeah, and it's really dependent on the Broncos, obviously, trading up to get Paxton Lynch in the first round, and John Elway saying flat out that the Kaepernick saga in Denver, at least, is now dead. Trent Baalke, his counterpart, would not, however, say that Kaepernick is not going to be traded. He's been asked that question several times in the last few weeks and won't put it to bed. So until that happens, I think it's still It's Jon Snow like in terms of it's life. It's lying on the table, but you kind of think that it still could be turned back into life at some point. Until the Jets add a quarterback, they're still the one team that's outstanding now that doesn't have a real quarterback for the future. They've got a lot of possibilities, perhaps, but nobody who's sort of locked into that starting spot. Until they re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think that door is left a little bit ajar. But, it's looking more and more likely, and I think Colin Kaepernick is becoming more and more resigned to being on the 49ers this year.
Matt Barrows joining us on KHTK. So overall, Matt, early returns, how do you think they did? They fill their needs? They get some good players? What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going with the solid B, right in the meaty part of the grading curve there. they addressed, I thought, their two biggest areas of need, which were the defensive line. Two guys there, DeForest Buckner and Ronald Blair, the guy I talked about earlier. And then the offensive line, and Josh Garnett, and later in a couple of tackles, John Theus and Fon Cooper, both from the SEC. So they've added some bulk to those positions. I thought, if there's a critique, they could have added a little bit more pop to the skill positions. I mean, they basically, at the very end of the sixth round, added their quarterback, their running back, and their wide receiver. That's not exactly a commitment to scoring a lot of points. I think the overall thought is that, Chip Kelly, his addition is going to help in that regard. Yeah. And Trent Baalke's job was to bulk up those lines and the trenches. And so they accomplished that early on in the draft.
Anthony Davis tweeted out, "Que sera, sera," after they made their offensive line pick. What is going on there with Anthony Davis?
Yeah, you know what? I wish I knew. I just cannot explain it. Here's a guy that's been talking about coming back to the 49ers for months and months now. But the first step in that is to file for reinstatement with the NFL, and he just hasn't done that. And neither side, neither Davis nor his agent nor the 49ers will explain to anybody, and this is, typical 49ers keeping everybody in the dark, including their fan base, why that hasn't happened. And it's just very odd why that process at least hasn't started. They can't even trade him until he does this. So I think, like Colin Kaepernick, it's looking more and more likely like the 49ers won't have Davis on the roster, that he can't sort of coexist with Trent Baalke. So, a trade seems likely at some point, or cutting him or moving on. But, again, they control his contractual rights, so he needs to be first in the league and then back on the 49ers before they can do anything with him. And it looks, for all intents and purposes, through the draft, as if they've moved on, or at least have a lot of guys now competing for that spot.
What's coming up under your byline at SACB.com this week?
Well, I'm going to take a longer look at the draft and kind of go into more of those thoughts and analysis of those picks and where they fit in on the roster. I think that's going to be an interesting point. And I'm not sure if there's a real answer yet, but there's some potential answers. And, when you've got an 11-man draft class and then they added another 11 guys, after the draft, undrafted free agents. I think that means that there are going to be some guys on the roster now who go. And so it'll be interesting to see which of those guys might be cut or who's got a fight on his hands in the spring and in training camp.
Always appreciate the time, Matty. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anytime, guys. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That is Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee. Check him out at sacbee.com. He's also on the Twitter machine as well.